Word now, you will open our hearts and our minds. Thank you for the privilege you've given me to stand here and bring an insight into your words. I pray that it will penetrate our hearts, beginning with me. It will catch root into the soil of our lives, and it will grow and bear much fruit. As we walk in faith, we want to rely on your promises and your word. We want to rely on Jesus as our source of strength. Lord, we pray that you will help us tune into your Holy Spirit and to hear your voice, bringing comfort and challenge, bringing forgiveness and grace into our lives. Thank you for the privilege to be here and to worship you in this way. Amen. Please be seated. As I said, we'd like to spend another Sunday morning on Abraham, because I think it's such a lot to do there. I pencil in, I think, for next year to probably do a series of about between 6 to about 10 sermons just on Abraham, really, but we'll see how it goes. Who knows what the Lord might say by that time. But I thought it would be good, at least for this morning, to spend a little bit more time on that aspect of what God requests of Abraham. This Sunday we're going to look at him as we looked at last week, and the next Sunday we're going to look at Isaac, and of course Esau and Jacob. And I really feel that, please don't miss next Sunday. Really don't. It's a really important message. It's a key to the whole series here, where you're going to hear next Sunday for the three of them. And this is the platform for that, ready for that Sunday, for the three great patriarchs. As we're looking so far to Abel, a guy who worshipped by faith, he offered God's sacrifice the way that God wanted him, and he pleased God by his faith, we could say. Enoch walked by faith with the Lord in such a way that he's never been seen. He had a fantastic journey with him and was taken into the kingdom and the heaven open to be with the Lord forevermore. Noah worked by faith. He worked by faith. An incredible man of God who, in spite of all that was going around him, he started building faith. It is okay, a journey. And many of us have taken it to the level of calling a spiritual journey. But for Noah, it was more than a spiritual journey. For Noah, it meant doing something for God that was about to happen that nobody has ever seen or heard. But he believed God and took him to his word that the flood will come. And his faith was very practical. He started building the ark for God's promise to be fulfilled for the earth. And through that incredible obedience that he displayed, God saved the world. And then we come to Abraham, who I've seen last week, he obeyed by faith, called to go to a land where nobody has been. He never knew where he was going, and he went by faith. And this morning I'd like to look at his other aspect of faith, that this wonderful man of God really displayed sacrifice and surrender by faith. I would like you to hear three voices this morning. One of you of Abraham, God speaking to Abraham. Another one you'll be later in the middle of the sermon, where God will speak and spoken to somebody in our church. We'll use again a small testimony for a few minutes here. And then I'm closing with the story of what God says to Paul, apostle, in his journey of faith. So three voices this morning. And as we looked last week at the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, and those are the words that God, for the first time, introduces himself to Moses. If you remember, I was telling you last week. Moses was the guy who said, I can't go and speak to the people, to the emperor, I can't do it. And God says, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And if you remember, I told you that it's okay. I understand when God says, I am the God of Abraham, because this is the guy who trusted God with all his heart. understand when God says, I am the God of Isaac, because although we don't have much about Isaac in the scripture, but we know he followed God very closely in faith. He walked with him. But then when you come to the God of Jacob, there is a problem there, because Jacob was a cheat and a liar and a terrible guy. And I said to you, he was an embarrassment to the Christianity, to the Christian world. He was terrible. He behaved terribly. And I'm going to bring this tomorrow. I'm going to expand on this tomorrow. Next Sunday. Yeah, I can preach here forever, I guess. Next Sunday, of where, how God has saw the whole fulfillment of his promise through Jacob, then Isaac and Esau. Through Isaac, Jacob and Esau. I understand that, but it was very difficult to understand why God would call himself the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob. Because God will use each one of us. He loves us. It doesn't matter in the aspects of life that we go through, in the faith that we have, the journey that we are on. God loves us equally. And I found that incredible blessing and truth to hold on to as we walk with God. I want to make a statement this morning, and I want you to hold on to this as I speak through now this message this morning, that faith, it might well be a journey, as I've announced it from the very beginning of this series. Faith is not a concept, as I told you before, a philosophical abstract concept that we just learn about it and we pass the test as we learn more about it. Faith, I want to give you another new understanding of it, is a fight. Faith is a fight. And I'm going to explain to you the message this morning what I mean by that. But this is what Abraham displays. This is what Moses displays. This is what Hebrew 11 people display. Whenever God has called them to do something by faith, they were in the midst of a fight, of a trouble. Whether it was with themselves under their low self, low esteem image, whether it was because there was a sin in their life, whether it was because it was trouble, whatever, looming of mistrust or misconduct or whatever, they were in the midst of fight, of a big fight. Yet, they have chosen to continue to serve God and obey him by faith. By faith. But they were, all of them, in the midst of a very big fight. And so is Abraham. Now, one of the questions that I find usually from people as a minister, and probably you will do as well, as you meet people around, especially as tragedy strikes, is, if God is love, if God is love, why do I have to go through pain? Why has God allowed this to happen? My spouse to die. My child to get cancer. My husband to run away with another woman. Why has God allowed for this to happen? For some of us, those questions are very personal. Very, very personal. For some of us, are questions that other people are asking us about. But this is, for me as a pastor, I found it the hardest questions to try, the question to try and ever answer. Why has this happened? Why has God allowed for this to happen? If God is love, how could he allow for this to happen? If God is love, how could we have a passage like Genesis 22 in the scripture? How could God ask Abraham to sacrifice the promise that he will give to him? He said, you're going to have a son. And through that son, I'm going to bless the whole humanity world. And then he comes to a point and says, actually, I'm going to take that son away from you. How can we have passages like that in the scripture? Remember what I said. Faith is fight. There were three big fights in my life. The death of my mother at the age of 9, the death of my grandmother, and a couple of miscarriages that Sandra and myself went through. Those are big things that keeps us on the platform, in the ring of faith, of fight with God, with the circumstances of life. And I love, as we come to this story, remind ourselves of the words, Lord, I believe, help me with unbelief. And those are the words that we look at last week. We closed the message last week when the centurion sends for Jesus to come and heal his servant. And this, Jesus says, well, do you believe this? Do you believe that I can help? Yeah, Lord, I do. Please help me with my doubts, with my fear, with my fight, because I do fight. I've really struggled to understand how you're going to do this. Please help me with that. Faith is a fight. Come to the story. Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. This is what the two little verses we have about this incredible story in Hebrews 11. God tested him. And then he says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him in Genesis, Abraham! And he said, here I am, Lord. I so much love that response. Here I am. This is the answer of saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you even when I don't understand. Those are the words that says, I'm going to go with you on this journey of faith, even if I don't know where exactly going and what you really ask of me to do. Those are words of worship, of surrender, of incredible sacrificial obedience and trust in the Lord. Here I am. He could have very easily said, excuse me, you're calling someone else. It's not me. I'm not around. I'm busy. I don't want to do this. You fulfill your promises to someone else, not to me. And many times we do that with God. Because we want the faith as a concept, not as a fight. We want our faith to be a good, nice, traditional church pew kind of journey. With a good sermon at the end and lovely songs that we sang. We don't want our faith to be a fight with God. We want it to be a nice religious atmosphere. Over half of the world's population would point to this guy Abraham as the man of faith. As a man of faith. Following and obeying God's plan is an act of faith. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. God's blessings are connected to obedience and faith, love and trust, surrender and sacrifice. Faith is a fight in which we learn how to trust God, how to love Him. And in the midst of all that, we grow in our trust for Him. Isaac wasn't just an ordinary child. He was the promised child. God made a covenant with a very special promise. Abraham, I'm going to bless you, your family, the whole earth is going to be blessed through you. And I'm going to give you and honor you with a son, with a child. And Isaac, when he was born, he was the apple of their eye. Abraham and Sarah, there was the dream child. And can you imagine how Abraham must have felt when God said, I'm going to want you to go with him on a journey and I want you to sacrifice your only son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. And go. Faith, remember, is a journey in which God requires us day by day to trust and obey. To know Him deeply. And sometimes to trust Him in things that really don't make sense, as I said last week. Look at this next verse. He said to the servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. And we will worship. The word there, worship, is the word bowing down. Hands completely stretched on the floor, completely lying down. It's not on your knees, it's completely lying down. With hands completely stretched, face covered down that it doesn't look up. In complete surrender. The word also means, you know, sometimes when you go to the airport and they check you through, you put your hands up and they check you through. And that's the same attitude that Abraham's there. He lets God check him in through. said, Lord, I fully surrender here. I'm going with Isaac. The one that you promised and you gave me to worship. And we're going to go. Because you said so. Faith is not a theological concept. It is about listening to God and responding to God when he calls us. Responding to that lead. And I love how the story in the end finishes. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me. Because you know the rest of the story. And have not withheld even your beloved son. I swear by my own self that I will bless you richly. This blessing, and I need to be careful how I choose my words, leads to rejoicing. This rejoicing is not a kind of smiley, happy face in the midst of tragedy. It is an inner rejoicing that says, in the midst of difficulties that I suffer and I go through, I continue to put my trust in God and rejoice in his faithfulness from that point of view. It is an unconfined joy that springs from within your heart, that flows from your lips and shines in your eyes as you make the journey to the Mount Moriah, knowing full well that the Lord might provide or might not provide healing or help or prayer, answer prayer or whatever it is. When God said to Abraham, stop, don't sacrifice your son, I don't think Abraham rejoiced in that moment. The Bible doesn't have to tell us that Abraham was very happy. No. It doesn't have to. He was probably singing and dancing all the way home. And you know, I like good stories like this where all went well. And the fairy tales is good. But I also love biblical stories where Jesus doesn't take all this attitude, I fix it all. And in the faith, in the journey of faith, we learn to trust him. Because sometimes Jesus doesn't fix it all. Remember the incident with Lazarus? He was dead. You know, he could have healed Lazarus many a times because he knew he was ill for days, weeks. He didn't. What's worse, he didn't go till after he was actually dead, 3-4 days later, to visit the family. I love those kind of stories where God doesn't adopt this fix-it-all attitude. And it is in those stories where we learn to trust God. We have Abraham on one side where it's good, happy ending. But we have others where it is not happy ending, but it is a continuous choice to trust God in the midst of difficulties. Do you know what I think the secret of Isaac's faith was? Because on his journey, on this incredible call, the secret was this. He didn't fix his eyes on Isaac, but on God. What is your Isaac that you carry with you? What is your Isaac? God on the journey of life, he would like us to focus not on our Isaacs, but on him. On him alone. I want you now to hear a story from somebody in our church. Jamie, thank you. And then we'll hear another voice from Scripture.
As did a lot of you in the congregation as well. And that person Earl and I both accepted the Lord Jesus as our Saviour at the Cliff College campaign in our town in 1957, at the ages of 10 and 11. I still have those two decision cards that we signed at that time. This was the start of our journey of faith. We first dated one another when we were 15 years of age, and have been together till the day she died. So you can see that from that time we grew together in our faith. I used to tell the pupils, as I was a teacher at school when teaching RE, on the subject of marriage, that in my marriage there were three people. They used to ask me, was I kinky? I would explain to them that the third person was Jesus. Earl and I both believe this, and our marriage and our life was guided by our faith. Since Earl's death, every morning I wake up and something's missing in my life. Every night it's the same when I go to bed. But God and my faith in Him is never missing. And I know I have to concentrate on Him and not on my choice of selfishness in wanting Beryl still with me. I believe that Beryl is now in a better place without any pain. With Jesus. During Beryl's fight with lymphoma, God did answer our prayers and helped her through the initial chemo, which lasted for 7 months. We then were blessed by God, and Beryl went into remission for 2 years and 3 months. And for this, we both praise God. Then the cancer returned. I prayed. I know you prayed. But it was not, it seems, within God's will to answer these prayers in the way we were asking them. God, I believe, had a reason which one day you will probably reveal to me. With regard to my faith, this gave me doubts and questions I wanted to ask God. It certainly tested my faith, and at times, it's still doing so. I asked, why did Beryl have to die in so much pain? I believe, though, because of what I believe in my faith and what I believe about God, but God did not want Beryl to die. God loves us all, more than we can ever imagine. And the reason Beryl died is because of the world that God has given us, and other people like her as well, because men and women, in fact, the universe, all of us have chosen sin. With the freedom, the choice that God has given us to choose. And this then, I believe, is why we have cancer and illnesses and situations that are tragic in our lives. It is not, I believe, in God's plan, but what He wants. He wants us to be with Him, love Him, and He wants us to reject sin. Obviously, that's in my faith why He sent Jesus, because we can't do that in our strength. God has also given me a loving family and a loving friends to support me. People I can share things about my faith, and with which they give me encouragement, they give me help and support. I've got that from you and friends here in the church as chosen places. When I was alive, I had an assurance of someone I could talk to and share my faith. We'd probably have disagreements, we'd have agreements, and we could encourage one another. Now, I feel at times I'm on my own. I find that harder, and my faith at times is filled with doubts and questions about situations. But I know, though, that I have God always with me. As Amelia has said in this sermon that he's been giving on this subject, faith is, for me, is not just an exercise or a concept. It is an experience of a journey. A journey that I know I am on. And I'm sure that's a journey that you're on as well. A journey in which I have these times of doubts. I believe we pass God's test by not knowing the answers, but still going on. He wants us to go on in faith, even though we may not know the answer. It's not by sight, but it's by faith. I would like to just share a verse with you, which I believe that Paul spoke to them in Philippians. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ was. I firmly believe that. But I also want to pray that prayer that person who came to Jesus did. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief.
Thank you, Jamie. It takes courage to come and share that and be a blessing to us on this journey of faith that him and, of course, Beryl took together, and now Jamie is undertaking on his own with the Lord himself. I said that I love stories when Jesus doesn't portray this, I fix it all there, let me get a better kind of theology and ministry. But at times he works with us in the midst of our trials and tribulations. And the last story that I want to share with you, just a couple of minutes, I'll hold it to your attention, then we have a time of reflection and worship, is from this passage written by Paul. Even if I should choose to boast, I will not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. This is just a glimpse into Paul's life. This is not about Paul's blessings. This is one of those passages like Genesis 22 that probably he shouldn't have been there. We want to hear about Paul and his extraordinary conquering missionary journeys that he had by faith, where he planted churches and he went and preached the gospel and many have come to Christ. Those are the stories we want to hear. We don't want to hear this kind of story. He had a thorn in the flesh. He was struggling. And I'm not going to go into that kind of theological nonsense, speculations, or whatever the thorn is. Many people, as many people as are in the world, so as many opinions about what that thorn is. It could have been anger, lust, illness, death of a loved one. Who knows what it was? The scripture doesn't tell us. But what I wanted to show you here is that as we journey together with God on this path of life, Paul reminded us that there is a thorn the world carries. There is a fight that we all are in, the fight of faith. That he was, and look at that word there, given. He was given. It was given to him. We usually talk about things that we do not have and rarely mention what we have. Life is always a combination of assets and liabilities, and for everything we accomplish, we will pay a price for it. There is a blessing when adversity, when trouble, tribulation comes. But I want to say something again. It has been given. God is in control even of our thorn, whatever that might be. God is in control of that too. And the scripture there said that he was a messenger from Satan. You and I have to learn in this journey of faith to go forward without the condition to be perfect. To wait for the time when we and the Lord are like this, when we are surely and 100% spiritually filled up there. Job said, though he will slay me, I will trust him. Hebrews 11 again shows us that those are people who are in the midst of fight, and yet when God has called them, they responded by faith in trusting him. And in the midst of that, they were in a terrible fight, in a terrible turmoil. Let me say this. So number one is this. God gives us the thorn. Hereby he is in control of that. Secondly, that in the fight of this walk of faith, God does not remove the thorn, the discomfort. And this is what we're going to talk about next week in more detail. The thorn will not stop you from testifying to God's love. Look how he ends that passage there, what Paul says, that the Lord has said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Forget about the thorn, it's not about the thorn. It's about me being glorified in your life. For my power is made perfect in your weakness as you carry along with the thorn that you have, with the Isaac that you bring along with you in the journey of faith. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. It does not matter what the thorn is. No, not at all. Everybody has a fight. What matters is that we get up and continue the journey in trusting God. I love when Jamie said, I still have my doubts. Still struggle with this. But I still continue to trust the Lord. Yes, life is different. Now the barrel is gone, nearly a year gone. But we'll continue. Because it's not just about the circumstances of life. It is about continuing to worship in God as we journey with him. I think God wants us to not just show our victories and our great works of faith, also show our thorns and our weaknesses as we walk with him, and let that be a blessing to others. Grace, my grace is sufficient to you. Let's just pray. Father, we pray this morning that as we worship you in our lives, as we what we do in our journey of faith. Many of us carry different Isaacs with us. Many of us have different thorns. And all of us are in a fight. Fight for our children, fight for wellness and well-being, for health. Fight in the financial difficulties, fight in our relationships. Lord, we pray, Lord, this morning that your grace will be sufficient, will be poured out in full measure on us as we continue to walk with you. It's not just about our victories, but it's also about our wins. It's not just about our walk at the top of the mountain, but also deep into the valley, in the fear and doubt, and where we are apprehensive, where is pain and agony. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief.